Okay, so page 466. Al tatifu yatifun lo yatifu le'ele lo yas yisag kilimais. Let's not even try to translate those words without the mefarshim. The word tatifu is being used over here three times in this pasuk, and it means to drip. But what in what context? So the mitzudas davar pasuk vav al tatifu yatifun atem hanaviim hamisnabim al tenabu lohem, do not give over prophecy. Ki kasher lo yatifu lo ele lo yasik kilimos, they will not be embarrassed. Ki regilim hem lahachlim es hamenabim lohem. First thing we learn over here is an incredible yisoid, and that is the pasuk here is teaching us that prophecy is called a revelation, a giving over of a navi, of giving prophecy is called a tipa. It's called like he's just taking an eyedropper, and he's just squeezing it and letting a teeny little drop fall upon the object that he is aiming at. That's what a prophecy is. A prophecy is an incredible pasuk. We would think that a prophecy is like an open stream. Hashem is now communicating. Hashem, there's a Navi. The Navi has a connection, has a channel to Hashem, and Hashem is channeling information, channeling love, channeling knowledge through the Navi to Klal Yisrael. That's not what it is. The pasuk here reveals when Hashem tells the Navi not to give over prophecy, because by giving over prophecy, the people over here are not receptive to the prophecy, and the Navim are going to be, we'll explain in more detail, they're going to be put to shame. But really, Hashem is saying, you're going to diminish the value of the prophecy when the prophecy is not appreciated. But before we get to that, it's just an incredible insight that prophecy is not like the average person would think, an open revelation. It's like a person can make a mistake and think that like he's like almost like a partner with Hashem. Others Ribbono Shel Olam, and now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to receive a vision and to give over information to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael likewise, also we're like partners, Hashem. We're buddy-buddy. We know what's going on in Shemayim. That's a terrible mistake. No matter how great a person is in this world, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all great, he's a nothing kineged the infinite nature of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. We don't even know what that means. It's impossible even us to understand what infinite is. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he is and as holy as he is still nothing relative to the infinite nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a Navi gives over prophecy, it's a joke. He's just giving over a teeny, teeny drop. There's an infinite amount of information on Kedusha and Nevuah more than where he comes from. And that is why in this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I says to the Navi, I want you to be silent. You have prophecy, you have what to say over. I do not want you to give over the message, and the way the giving over prophecy is described is with the term of tatifu, al tatifu yatifun, do not give over prophecy. Lo yatifu, do not give over prophecy, lo ele, lo yisag kelimos, so that you will not suffer shame. Since the people are not receptive to your prophecy, they reject what you say, they're just going to hurt you, they're going to embarrass you, they're going to injure you. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was tortured. He was thrown into a dungeon. They plucked out the hairs of his beard. And all of the other prophets, although they may not have suffered to the same degree of humiliation and suffering, it was pretty close. The prophets were not very popular. They were not popular people. And, okay, that's a simple interpretation. That's what this David over here says. One more time. Lo yatifu lo ele lo yasik kilimos. Ki regilim heim lehachlim es hamisnabim lehem. It was very common that the people that were given Musar would talk back to those that rebuked them by putting them to shame. Rashi Pasuk Vav, Al Tatifu Yatifun, Al Tenabu Lehoichicham. Prophecy is described as Hatafa. Do not give up a prophecy. Lechem Ani Omer, Lechem Ani Omer, to you I am speaking, Hanevim Asher yatifun tamid, to the prophets that drip continuously, meaning like we explained, lo yasik kilimos pen tasigun eschem kilimos meitam. Because if you do go down this path, you may be put to shame. You may be humiliated. Kinyan shenemar al toichach leitz. Do not give musar to a leitz, to a person who is a mevatel. A leitz, we always translate, is a person that takes something that is very important, very choshev, very distinguished, and he makes nothing out of it. Do not give musar to such a person who will just knock it away. Now he goes further to explain, Pentasigun eschem klimos meitam kinyin shenemar, al toichach leitz, kol tif l'shoin nivuah. Every time we have in Tanakh the word tif, which literally means a drop, it is an expression of prophecy, kmo, v'loy satif al beis yischok. Here we're referring to Yitzchok, with a tzadi, and sometimes in Tanakh, rarely it's spelled with a sin, Yischok. Some actually want to say, we learned in Chumash, some actually wanted to suggest, it's a tremendous chiddush, that Yitzchok's real name was Yischok, with a sin. At his bris milah, what did Sarah name, what did Avraham actually name him? So some want to say that he was called Yischok, with a sin, and his nickname is Yitzchok. That's not so simple to say such a thing, but I remember we coming across such an idea. What? Because the Pasuk does call him Yitzchok.
Here it does,
and also we call the Pasuk by Bris Milah. By Bris Milah, in the Elokeinu, we say the Kayim is a Yelad Hazel La'avolim v'Karishma b'Yisrael, and then it goes on, and during that Pasuk that we quote the Pasuk that says Yitzchok. So why would we quote that pasuk for all the psukim, especially when we're in the middle of giving a child a name? So some want to say, and it's not there are many sources. There are other interesting sources. Is that Yitzchok's real name was Yitzchok? So now, at the moment of giving a name to a child, the accurate name which he will be used for when he's called to the Torah, any religious service. And he gets it out, we're going to use his real name. Now, when we want to go quote the name of this person, we want to be accurate. And what's accurate? Accurate is his real name is Yitzchok by Bristol, when giving a person the name. And that's a bit controversial, such a chiddush. I have to find the exact source to say such thing. But in any event,
anybody named their kid Yitzchok?
Today, no, never heard such a thing today. You never heard someone say Yitzchok. You never heard such a thing. Exactly. Okay, a lot of names, you never heard someone today calling their child Yishmael, even though yesterday we read about the Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Okay, he was the second of the Asura Harugi Malchus, and in the Gemara, there's the famous, and the Gemara talks about, maybe it was the same Rabbi Yishmael who said Hashem's name, who went Lefnai V'Lefnim, whatever it is. But in the Chidam, I don't know. There are a lot of names that, for whatever reason, we do not give today. V'hateif el daroim, you shall relay prophecy to the people living in the south. In any event, we take out of this Rashi and out of the Mitzvah Stav in a very beautiful Yisoid that the word tif, which literally means a drop, is a metaphor for prophecy to give us Musar, to teach us. Don't ever think that just because you have reached an exalted level of prophecy, that you are an equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're just a drop in the bucket. You're a nothing, a person is still a nothing of a nothing relative to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Listen. In the Mandarin language, we say Latif Musa.
Latif Musa, to give Musa. Same idea.
Give Musa,
just a little bit.
Don't give it.
Just a little bit. A drop of Musa. Yeah. If you give too much Musa, you'll turn the person off. Very good. But there it's used as a drop. There in the Rula Hatif is used as a drop. So you're suggesting, Rav Kalman is suggesting, I quoted you yesterday, Rav Kalman is suggesting, Asura Harasha, that was an amazing thing. You're suggesting that the reason why Nevuah is called Lehatif is being that Nevuah, the Etzem, is Divrei Musa. When we read the Haftorah on Shabbos, what are we really reading? We're reading words of Musar. Okay, that's what Nevuah is. That's why a lot of people say that it's much better to learn Tanakh, Nach, than it is to learn the Sefarim on Teshuvah. Shari Teshuvah, Mesilas Yesharim, Derech Hashem, Chovos HaLevavos. Before you learn those sefarim, it would be a very great advantage for you to be a master in Nach. Because what are the Balei Musar doing in their sefarim? They're just elaborating upon the words of the Nevi'im. The words of the Nevi'im are the ikar, the primary source of Musar. Yesterday, Tisha B'Av, Kinos. What are the Kinos? It's just an elaboration upon Eicha. It's an elaboration upon the words of the Yirmiyah and the Haftorah. That's what all of the later Paitonim, the later Balei Musar, they're just elaborating upon the words of the Nevi'im, which is the primary source of Musar. Rav Kalman is suggesting that the reason why Nevuah is described with the expression of Lehatif, a drop, it's to teach us that when you give Musar, don't give too much Musar. You give just a drop. A drop of Musar is enough to set a person on the right path. Don't overwhelm your students with too much Musar. And that was the instruction given to the Nevi'im. When a Navi would give over a message, it was Lahatif. Just give them a short, sweet message of Musar. Do not overwhelm them. If you will overwhelm them, you will turn them off. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Vav. Al Tatifu. Inyin Hazolas Hadibor. He learns the word Tatifu. It's a little bit different than what we learned in these two Pirushim we learned until now. It means the flow of speech. When words flow off the tip of your tongue, that is called Hatofa. Kimo V'Olemo Titof Milasi. Upon him, it will flow my words. V'hu al derech ha-sha'ala. This is a borrowed expression. She'ela. Okay? She'ela means to borrow. V'hu al derech ha-sha'ala. We are borrowing an idea. We're not going to... The expression is taking another concept and we are applying it over here. We're borrowing it. Yisrael yatifun l'nevi'ei hokel. Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, yatifun l'nevi'ei hokel. They speak to the false l'nevi'ei hokel. Yisrael yatifun l'nevi'ei hokel al tatifu. Now, what do those words mean? He explains, Koloimar, what does this mean? Al tiskru lanu divrei hokel. The Jewish people are telling ki ein anu shoymim lochem. So he's learning here al tatifu. Okay, lo yatifu le'ele. Let's go further. Lo yatifu le'ele. Lo yasik limos nevi'ei hokel. Lo yatifu le'ele ho anashim v'lo yichu klimos. Do not speak to them. Do not talk to them. Because if you speak to them, they will put you to shame. She'im yatifu lohem yachlimum. They will put you to shame. Yisag inyon hasaga. To attain. V'im hu kosuf b'samoch. If it would be written b'samoch. Hine kamohu min ha-koveid. It does say with the samach. It will be arur masig v'ul re'eu v'chaveirov. Okay, I'm not sure what he means by here, but I think it's similar to what we've learned until now. Al tatifu yatifun. Do not speak to the people. Lo yatifu lo ele. Do not. He repeats himself twice. Do not. Hashem is repeating. Do not speak because you're going to be put to shame. All right. Before we go further, let's see the Malbim. Okay, let's see the Malbim first. Pasuk Vav in the Malbim on the bottom, page four on the bottom. Al yatatifu. Page 467. Maschil lehisvakeach imohem al she'enam reitzim l'shmoya l'nevi'ehu emes. He begins by giving them Musar. You do not want to listen to the words of the prophets. V'shi'ur ha-kosuv he'amur. What does the pasuk mean to say? Beis Yaakov al tatifu yatifun. Ha-maimar ha-murgol eitzel beis Yaakov. It's a quotation. The quotation, the pasuk over here is quoting what the people would say to the Navi. This is, I think, what the Radak also meant to say. The people in Klal Yisrael are... they are telling the prophets, don't talk to us. Don't you dare open your mouth and insult us. This is what we're quoting. We're spitting back to Klal Yisrael their own words. Hamaymar hamurgal etzel beis Yaakov hamaymar el anavim al tatifu mashe yatifun. Do not speak. Al tatifu divrei nivuos shel toichochos o yudim roim. Don't tell us bad news. Don't make predictions that terrible things are going to happen. Asher regilim ha-neviim la-hatif ul-nabois, that was customary for the neviim to do. Ki ein anu reitzim l'shmaya nevuos ka'ele, we don't want to hear such bad words. Then the pasuk repeats itself, zos sheinis aimrim, lo yatifu lo-ele, lo yisag kilimois. Shi'ur ha-kosov, this means the measurement of the pasuk. It's an expression which means the pasuk means to say. Just like we have the word kloimar, it means the pasuk means to say lo yatifu klimois asher lo yisag she'al kolponim lo yatifu lehoichiach. No matter what, don't give them musar. Do not speak words of musar al averos, on their sins, lefarsem klimois sa'am, to expose the shame of the people, umaseyem horoim, shahaklimois vahacharofois, shame and curses, ho'ele, lo yisoigu ochor, should not boomerang. What does that mean, boomerang? Ritzon loimar, sheyisharu tamid lecherpas oilam, it should not remain a disgrace forever. What does that mean? He explains, "Kinyan v'cherpaso lo simoche lo yidabu nevuah shebazel yachlimu esam bechlimu esolam." Don't say words that will put them to shame forever. Now let's just take a step back and try to understand what's going on over here. According to the Malbim, when the pasuk concludes lo yisag kelimos, it's referring to the people. Do not put the people to shame. That's not what we said originally. According to Rashi. Ooh, I'm guilty. Look at that. Ooh. Ooh, wow, okay. Chatasi, no. Chatasi, but I thought I turned it off, actually. All right, but my bringer also should be off. Sorry, I apologize. Chatasi. Okay, Rabbi, so let's continue. We have over here two perushim in regard to kelimos. According to Rashi, the Mitzudos and the Radak, the word kelima is being applied to the Navi. According to the Malbim, the word kelima is referring to the people. Let's first work with the Malbim, then I want to work backwards and say something, say an idea. According to the Malbim, Hashem is telling Micha, don't give the people Musa. Do not give the people Musar. Do not put them to shame. The people are telling the Navi. The people are telling the Navi, don't give us Musar. Don't embarrass us. Lo yisag kelimois. The subject of the words yisag kelimois is Klal Yisrael. Do not allow Klal Yisrael to achieve shame. If you're going to expose all of their dark secrets and tell the world what they have done, all of their averos, they will be put to shame. It will be on public record, and it will be forever. Forever it will be on record that the Jewish people are evil people because the Navi himself said horrible things.
I can understand that, but then why just with people? Because there are other Navi.
So I guess it's his time.
For posterity.
So I guess the answer must be is that it depends on the circumstances and the times and the nature of the Navi. Every Navi was different. It could be that the Micha, he had a tongue, a very sharp tongue, and his insults would have much more of an effect in history than an ordinary Navi. And we learned in the Perek Aleph his eloquence. Lashon noifel al halashon. He had a koich hadibur. And if he would be given the license just to do whatever he wants, he would rip us to shreds to such a degree we would never be able to escape the shame. Other Nevi'im that were not as talented, if they're given the license to reveal our sins, they could not put it in words that would embarrass us eternally.
But there are some people when they give us that you don't realize they can be your Muslim.
And Achnami, that's the art of giving Musa. They're all different ways and different techniques of giving Musa. My grandfather, he was part of in Shanghai when they fled during the war. So he was very close with Yeruchim Levavitz. And Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, he would give Musa Shmuzim, so he would, when he gave Musa Shmuzim, he would say things to the boys, and the boys really believed that he had Ruach HaKodesh. He would talk about a certain Aveira that was done, and everyone would say, how in the world did he know about this? How? He gave a Musa Shmuz focusing on a certain Avla, a certain issue that he felt was there, had to be addressed, and he would give a Musa Shmuz, and the boys were dumbstruck. How in the world did he know about this thing? There's no way he could have known if not for the fact that he had Ruach HaKodesh. And the truth was, what? Now, the fact is, Rabbi Yisai, Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, if I'm not mistaken, he would go and he would ask my grandfather, tell me what's going on in the dormitory. What's going on by the boys? Tell me their averis. Tell me some Lashon Hara. So my grandfather would be malshin. He knew. He was with the boys. He knew exactly what was going on. So he would report to Rabbi Yochum what was going on. So it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. Get a spy.
The magicians and the
seance have inside information. Exactly. Inside information. He knew exactly what was going on. So in a chadami, there's an art. When a person gives musar, there's an art in musar. Here, Akadosh Baruch Hu is giving musar to. The people are giving musar, and Hashem over here is telling Micha not to give musar. Or according to the Malbim, really, it's not Hashem telling him. The people are telling Micha, do not give us musar, and do not put us to shame. Lo yisa kilimos. Through your words of musar, we will achieve a state of shame that will remain with us, taint us forever. According to Rashi, the mitzvahs and the radak, that's not the pshat. The pshat is, the people don't care about being put to shame. It's water off a duck. They don't care. If they're doing the aveirois, they're not concerned about being put to shame. What Hashem means to say, Hashem is the one that is speaking here, and Hashem is saying, lo yisa kilimos, you, Micha, will be put to shame. When your words will be rejected, if you will give musar and the people will reject your words, you will walk away as a failure. You will be put to shame. You will become depressed. And you will suffer psychological harm, damage. And you will not be able to live with yourself and continue to function as a normal person. A person has a mission. And he fails miserably in his mission. He feels a sense of shame. And he does not have any satisfaction in going forward in life. So Hashem is over telling him, give good advice. Listen. The people, they're not receptive to hearing your words. Therefore, it's not the time now to give them musar. And in fact, not only is it not the time to give them musar, it's damaging. It's going to cause harm. Not harm to the people. They don't care. Harm to you. They will embarrass you and they will reject you. You will feel ashamed and embarrassed and you will suffer. There were certain Gedolei Yisrael, they had Chidushei Torah. It's a very hard thing to understand this, but on their level, it's a little taste of what it says. Every time you tell a person a vart, everyone here has an experience where you had a chiddush. You have something novel, an idea, or there's some information that you become aware of, and you're excited. You're really, really excited. And you present what you know to someone else. And the person listening is not so excited. It doesn't mean very much to them. Yeah, big deal. Tell them a good chiddush. Or let's say you tell them good news. Guess what? This person had a child. This person got engaged. This person had a simcha. Big deal. It affects you. When the person listening to your excitement is not as excited as you, it affects you. It softens you, it bursts your, deflates you, bursts your bubble. On the other hand, if you tell a person something which to you is not so significant, and you tell someone, and they go crazy, what? What did you just say? And it makes an impression on you. And your own words you go home, wow, you know, maybe there's really something to it. This idea that I presented, or this information, I did not make much of it, but when I presented it to someone else, they exploded. It must be really serious stuff. It's very, very common. Here as well, a Navi is a very delicate person. A Navi has to be on a very, very high madrega to receive prophecy and to maintain that Kedusha. If a Navi goes to Klal Yisrael and presents a Nevuah and the people are not impressed, that affects the Navi. The Navi feels as if he's a failure and it damages his sanctity, his Kedusha, his mission, and also damages the chashivos of Nevuah. Nevuah has to be treated with respect. And if the people are not respectful of the Nevuah, then don't desanctify it. Don't put it to shame by presenting it to an audience that does not appreciate what it has. That's the way Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak learn. Lo yisa klimos yu micha, should not suffer shame by being a failure when you present Musar to people that are not receptive. Whereas, according to the Malbim, Lo Yisa Klimos is addressing the people that do not give them Musar and do not put them to shame. Okay, let's go further in the Mamor Chazal. There's one Mamor Chazal. No, I'm sorry. There's one Mamor Chazal on page 467. Al Yatifu Ya'al Tatifu Yatifun. Amar B'chanina B'rei Rabbi Adab Abba B'shem Rabbi Tanchum Bar Echia. Chamurim Divrei Zekeinim Midivrei Nevi'im. Dichsev al tatifu yatifun, lo yatifu lo eile, lo yasik limos, uchsev atif lecho liyayin ulishechar. So what does he mean? He explains over here, the quoting over here, two different psukim. Hare, shekevon she'enim chafetzim divrei ha'nevi'im, tziv Hashem l'noya divrei nevi'us mehem, period. Like we just learned. Avo b'nogel l'divrei chachamim ein hadavar kei. So this is Yerushalmi. I'm not familiar with this, but it appears that when it comes to the words of Musa of the Chachamim have an obligation to give Musar, even if the people are not receptive. Even if they're not receptive, it's their obligation to still give Musar to their followers, their people. They have to hear the words of Musar. But by a Navi, the Pasuk says that the people are not receptive. If they don't want to hear the words of Musar, then don't speak. Okay, so there must be a lot more to this than what it just says of here, but it's a very fascinating idea to differentiate between the words of the prophets and the words of the Chachamim, and the words of the prophets, the words of the Nevi'im. If they're not appreciated, you better not say anything. When it comes to the Chachamim, they have an obligation to speak, even if the people are not going to be receptive to what they have to say. Let's now go to Pasuk Zayin. Ha'amur. What? Before you came, we discussed it at great length. Before you came, we discussed that. That the word hatofa means a drop. A drop. And we discussed the significance that Nevu is just a drop in the bucket. That there's so much more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the words of the prophet. Okay. Let's pass Pasuk Zayin. Helmur Beis Yaakov. So says. Well, we have to see. Is it fitting to say to Klal Yisrael? The Mitzvah says this is a rhetorical question. Helmur Beis Yaakov. Hakotzar Ruach Hashem. Im Eile Ma'alalov. If these are his deeds. Haloi Divarai Yetivu Im Hayashar Hoylech. Let's see the Mitzudos. Pasuk Zayin. Helmur Beis Yaakov Behei Haytema. This is a question, a rhetorical question. Uritzon Loimar. V'chi Yuchal Beis Yaakov Loimar. The Af, is it possible for Klal Yisrael to say the following, to say such a thing? The Af Im Yoimru. V'chi Ho Emes Hu? Kein Hu. V'chi Kotzar Ritzoin Hashem Leval Yuchal Lemal Oisoy Lehetiv Lemisha Yirtze. Klal Yisrael says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. This is a very common theme we have in the Nevi'im, And in fact, this is one of the themes of the Shabbos, of the Haftarah, of Shabbos HaGadol. The Klal Yisrael, when they're frustrated in Galus, they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He can't help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. Further in the Mitzudos, Im Eile Malala V'chidarkoi La'asois Ro'o Im Habriyois. Is it His way to do evil with His creatures? Haloi divarai yetivu bi emes divarai metivim hema im ha'holech b'derech yashar. My words are only meant for your benefit. Okay, so this touches upon the fundamentals of Yadus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world in order to do chesed. This is something which comes from the Ramchal, and it's something which is mamish, the shorish of all of Yadus. And this is where other religions, they get it wrong right from the start. Klal Yisrael, we have an emuna, and it's based upon Sukkim from the Nevi'im, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created this world to do chesed. Oilam chesed yibane. The world is built on a foundation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to be meitiv, to be good, to give pleasure to His creation. Hashem created the world, and Hashem created man. Hashem wants to be good to man. Problem is, Chazal tell us that Hashem would just automatically be good to man, send man directly to Olam Haba, man would not feel any benefit. In fact, he would be put to shame. It's called Nahama Diki Sufa, the bread of embarrassment. To take something that is undeserved is painful. It's not pleasurable. Man has a need to earn his reward. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be good to man, and Hashem would take man and put him in Gan Eden, he would not have any pleasure in Gan Eden because he did not deserve to enter in Gan Eden. Hashem created this world to put man in a situation where he has to exercise free will. And when he decides to be good, to follow in Hashem's ways, then he deserves reward. So now when Hashem will take him to Gan Eden, he will actually enjoy, he will have pleasure from Gan Eden. That is the principle of the Ramchal, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and that's something which we all live and breathe with on a daily basis. Problem is, when you go through life and you see so much suffering and so many problems and so much difficulty, it challenges that principle, that emunah. Why does man suffer? And man here actually is making these statements. Man is saying here, Amor Beis Yisrael, is it proper for my people to say, HaKotzar Ruach Hashem, that Hashem's spirit, His desire is limited? He cannot carry out what He wants to do. Im Eile Ma'alolav, if these are His deeds, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes man to suffer in this world, it must be that Hashem is limited. So Hashem says back to them, you're making a big mistake. Haloi divarai yetivu. My words, my actions, everything that comes from me is only to do good, to be meitiv. And this is just a necessary evil. It's part of the process of refining you and bringing you to a point where you'll be able to deserve the reward that you will ultimately get. And all the details, obviously, we have no understanding of. Im ha-yashar ha-ilech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's good to those who walk with Him in a state of yashas. It's a very hard word to translate. Let's maybe try to translate the words one more time in the Mitzudo Stavid, then they have more of a flavor of these words. Pasuk Zayin again in the Mitzudo Stavid. He'amur beis Yaakov, he'he ha-yatema, or it's ha-leimah. This means to say, V'chiyuchal beis Yaakov loymar, is it proper for the Jewish people to make such a statement? The Afim Yoimru, and even if they do say it, because unfortunately they do say it, they do make such a statement that Kadosh Baruch Hu is limited. V'chiyo emesu kein, is this really true? Is it really true to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is limited? V'chikotzar utzoyin Hashem, leval yuchal lemaloisoy lehetiv lemisha yirtze, is Hashem's ability limited? Where He's unable to bring to fruition His plans to do good to those that He wants, those that He likes, those people that He wants to be good to. im ele ma'alalav, v'chidarkoi la'asoy sra'o im habriyo. So he learns the words im ele ma'alalav. It's part of the rhetorical question. Do you think that Hashem's ways are evil? Is it proper for you to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does evil to man? That's a lie. Haloi divarai yetivu b'emes divarai meitivim heima imaholech. My words are to do good with those who walk with Hashem. On the next page, turn to the next page. Imaholech who walk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry. Imaholech b'derech yosha. This is Rashi's interpretation. Just before you go further, you understand that this idea is very relevant, especially when you're dealing with other religions like Christianity. Because what is the entire philosophy of Christianity? Person is born, where do you go? By default.
Right.
You go straight to Gehenna. Coming into this world, according to Christian theology, is a guarantee you go straight to Gehenna. And the only way you can get out of it is if you become a believer in their deity, accept their deity, and that will be a salvation from purgatory. Okay, that is their theology. This is mamish, the ultimate kefirah. By Klal Yisrael, Chazal says, Kol Yisrael yesh lohem chelek le'olam haba. Every single member of Klal Yisrael has a chelek in olam haba. By coming into this world, you automatically go to Olam Haba. Just don't mess it up. Don't ruin it. It's 180 degrees from Christianity. Come into this world, muftach loy shuv in Olam Haba. Don't mess it up. The Christian belief, you come into this world, you go straight to Gehenna. Unless you will accept so-and-so and do this and that, then you will have redemption. Then you will be you will be you won't have to go there. So that's total kafira. And this pasuk is to a degree in Rashi is coming to address that. Haloi divarai yetivu im hayosha hoylech. How do the Christians deal with this pasuk? They only know one thing. Isaiah. What are they? We only know the 67. Right. They only know. They're so corrupt. They know so little. They just twist and turn. People who really know Tanakh can take them and rip them to shreds. I mean, earlier once he told me he had a missionary guy come and knock on his door. He ripped him to shreds. I have a conversation with someone who really knows Tanakh, and you talk to them, and they start telling you their things, and you tell them, like, what are you talking about? All right.
That's what Rabbi Parnas from YU used to give us classes on how to answer.
Oh, dam alohashe, dam alohashe.
Well, we got into those discussions, and he used to tell us, so this is your answer.
Why don't
you give us? Yeah, well, because sometimes you get involved, you know.
No. Okay, let's go further. Let us see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Zayin. Hel mor beis Yaakov hazois neemra beis Yaakov kisheshoimim es hara'a asher nivi'ai misnabim lohem. This is what they say. Rashi is learning the pasuk very differently than the Mitzudos Tavit. It's not a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Don't talk like this. But rather, it's a statement. This is what the Jewish people say when the prophets give them Musa. One more time, hazois, ne'emra beveis Yaakov, is this what is said in Klal Yisrael? Kisheshoimim, when they hear, es hara'a, asher nivi'ai misnabim lohem. What do they say? Hakotzar ruach Hashem, shema ein yecholes atol lefanov lehetiv. Maybe now Hashem is limited. Ve'ein ruchoi ruchavo olav letoiv. His spirit is not wide to do good. Kasher hoisa bayomim harishonim. Like in the olden days. In the olden days, Rashi is very fascinating when he adds this idea in the olden days. It's true, back in the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very good to us. But today, we don't see miracles anymore. So maybe Hashem is old, he's weak. He became weak. He's not able to do today what he was able to do back back in the day. Im ele malolof, kulom lehora. Because look at Hashem's deeds. It's a very shocking words of Rashi. Kulam, everything Hashem does is lihora. In philosophy, and I took a course in philosophy in Brooklyn College, so they taught us about the evil genius. It's exactly what it says here. What's the evil genius? Is that it's Apikorsis 100%, but it's mamsh the pasuk right here. It's exactly what it says here. Is that there's a god of evil. God created man in order to have pleasure in torturing man. Because look at the world. In the world there is so much suffering, so much pain. It must be that we are a creation of a God that only wants to cause us pain. And isn't that what it says over here in Rashi? Rashi says, "In Elim Alolov, if everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is evil, everyone is suffering, it must be that HaKotzar Ruach Hashem. Hashem is limited." So Hashem responds, Haloi divarai yeitivu. What?
It's all but a question. Of course it's a question.
Hamor beis Yaakov, is it proper for Yaakov to say Hazois, right? Hazois, nemra beis Yaakov. Hazois is like the right, the hey atema. Is it proper, is it correct for the Jewish people to make the following statement? Hakotzar ruach Hashem me'ilim alolov. That Hashem's ability is limited. The proof is, look what is going on in this world. How does Hashem respond? Haloi divarai yetivu im hayoshar hoylech. Ani loy kotzra ruchi. I am not limited. Veloi ele ma'alolai. And these are not my deeds. Zulasi lirishoim. This that you are witnessing harm, it's only because of the evil, the wicked people. Ach hayoshor choylech, the one that walks with uprightness, heitev eitiv lo, I will be good to him. Do not be fooled by what you see. It requires a lot of emunah. Okay, so we have now a lot more flavor.
There are some people who go through life and they don't really have many obstacles. They don't have that born to a good family, good money, and everything goes well for them. So they don't get rewarded as much as someone has obstacles.
We don't know how things work.
I know that.
We don't know everyone. You should know what we see. You see a person, you think it's good by them. How many times do we learn later in life that when we thought they were, everything was bliss and everything was wonderful, they lived a life of misery. Everyone has their nisyonos. No one came to this world for a free lunch. Okay, everyone has their nisyonos. What bothers one person does not bother someone else. Everyone is here for a purpose. It requires an enormous amount of emunah, and it's not a healthy thing to look at other people. You really, really don't know what's going on by someone else, what they're going through in their mind. What affects them does not affect you. Everyone is different. Everyone has their purpose and mission in this world, the nisyonos in which they have to overcome. It's a very powerful pasuk. Okay, this pasuk really is.
What?
Why
did you say Beit Yaakov?
I guess because Yaakov, on a very similar level, because Yaakov is always the level of Klal Yisrael in a state of struggle. Yaakov is Vayeovek Ish Imoy, when Yaakov wrestled with Esav. Yisrael is Lashon Tsar, when they prevail, in the good times. When Klal Yisrael survives, we come out victorious at the end, then we're called Yisrael. But during the times of Nisyonos, of difficulty, we're called Yaakov. Here, obviously, we're going through very hard times. If Klal Yisrael is complaining, they're saying that HaKotzar Ruach Hashem, very similar to what Moshe said, Hayat Hashem Tiktzor. Moshe said, Hayat Hashem Tiktzor. Here, so when we're going through a struggling moment of time, then we are called Yaakov. Because Yaakov is always the name of Klal Yisrael in the times of difficulty. B'nei Yaakov, Beis Yaakov, I don't know. Okay, it's a good question. I don't know. Yes.
And in chapter 3 of the Echai, yesterday we read that in Araot Batovod Yosomi Hashem.
Evil does not come from Hashem. Evil comes.
Araot Batovod, both of them, not coming from Hashem. What does it mean?
I don't know.
In chapter 3 of the Echai,
I don't know. Right now, you caught me off guard.
No, because
yesterday Tisha B'Av is over. Let's go weiter. What?
In the Avir Hashem Baraot.
What Nero? What are we? What are you saying over here? Over here in from our perception, the people are making an observation. They're watching in this world suffering. They're suffering. They're watching horrible things happen in front of their eyes. So they make a statement. In Eile Malolov, you have to read the pasuk backwards. If these are Hashem's deeds, if we witness in front of our eyes people suffer, the only explanation is Hakotzar Ruach Hashem. It must be that Hashem is limited. To that Hashem responds, the Apikorsim to say that. Haloi divarayetivu im hayoshar halech. I'm a good God. I only do good. But you have to be yoshar. You have to be upright. The people that are suffering because they're wicked. Oh, but you'll say there are tzaddikim who also suffer. Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question, but that's not the way it was meant to be. The ikar suffering in this world only comes to wicked people. Why is it that tzaddikim also suffer? That's a good question, but do not associate with me evil. Hashem is only to be associated with toiv, with good, but you have to play your part. It's very simple. Okay, Adkan, yeah.
Sometimes Beis Yaakov indicates, take a softer tongue with them.
Beis Yaakov, because why?
Because
Koisam al-Noshim. Being that Koisam al-Beis Yaakov refers to the women.
I know, but it also means to take a softer tongue with them.
Okay. Okay.
Hashem
is good to even to the Royim. Hashem is good to them also. But to a certain degree, there's a limit. Hashem has patience. Now notice here, you touched upon something very interesting, that the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Micha. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hayad Hashem Tiktzor. And here Micha, he said, Hakotzar Ruach Hashem. What's the difference between the Yad Hashem and the Ruach Hashem? Why do we need a Navi to say the same thing? And Moshe Rabbeinu said it all. Why do we have to have Nevi'im? When we are on Shabbos, we learn the Parsha, and then we learn the Haftorah. What? The Parsha did not say it all. Hafeichba, hafeichba, dekulaba. Why do you have to read the Haftorah? What is there in the Nevi'im that's not already to be found hidden in the words of the Torah? It's a very tough question. Here as well, if Moshe Rabbeinu already said Hayad Hashem Tiktzor, what is he saying now? Hakotzar Ruach Hashem. Obviously, there's another dimension. Moshe Rabbeinu. It appears. Let's try to analyze this. Moshe Rabbeinu, the people who the Yotzei Mitzrayim were suggesting, this is just a machshava, had no issue with recognizing the Ruach Hashem, recognizing that Hashem. What does it mean, Ruach? His desire. That Hashem's desires are unlimited. Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He took Klal Yisrael, they survived in the desert for 40 years. Yet they still complain, they had a doubt about the Yad Hashem. Here, it appears the issue is not the Yad Hashem, it is the Ruach Hashem. Ruach usually is associated with desire, and Yad is associated with lemaisa, with coming through, with your desire materializing, with it coming to fruition, when your plans come all the way through to the very end. Here, the people are challenging, I think, something more fundamental. They're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desires are limited. That Hashem does not have for us big hasagos. Because if Hashem had, let's translate the word ruach now for the moment as plans. That Hashem does not have for Klal Yisrael very, very big plans. Because if Hashem had a bigger, more complicated plan for us, He would carry it out in a much better way. On the other hand, in Mitzrayim, Hashem had very grand plans. Hashem, the plans were amazing. To take a nation that is slaves in Egypt and to take them out of Egypt and to free them. But the problem is, Hashem could not carry out the plan to fruition. He couldn't get the job done. Okay, one more time. In Egypt, but we also did. So everything's in disguise. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we were slaves in Egypt. Hashem comes to Moshe and says, Moshe, I got good news to tell you. I want to go take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. What? Who thinks like that? Who has such hasogos to go take a collection of slaves out of a nation that a slave never escaped? It's impossible. What kind of plans, these master plans, do you have to accomplish the impossible? I said, no, I'm really going to do it. These are my hasogos. These are my dreams. These are my plans. The plans were magnificent. And Hashem begins the process. He takes us out of Mitzrayim. We go into the desert. We survive. And now the Jewish people, they don't have what to eat. There's no water. There's no, and they're frustrated. And the people begin to get a sense that Hashem cannot deliver. He has a big plan. He came very close. He took us out of Egypt. He brought us in. He brought us into the desert. We survived. But to reach the finish line, to get into Eretz Yisrael and to conquer the 31 nations of Canaan, and to survive, to give us water and food, Hashem just can't deliver. You have groysa hasogos, but lemaisa, you can't deliver. Hashem, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Hayar Hashem tiktzar. Hashem could deliver, don't worry. Hashem is good to his word. What he wants, he will deliver. He will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. He will settle you in the land. In the meantime, you do your part. Here, Micha, here, Klal Yisrael, there doesn't seem they're questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to deliver. The proof is in the pudding. Hashem delivered in the history. Rashi mentions, B'yom Kadmoinim. In previous generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered. He was always good to his word. The problem they're facing now is, look, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. We've already achieved everything. What don't we have? We left Egypt. We came into Eretz Yisrael. We built it. We conquered the land. We built the Beis HaMikdash. We're here. And now what? What are Hashem's plans for the future? Hashem doesn't have any plans. And because he doesn't have any plans, that's why there's chaos in society. The whole world is just crumbling under our feet. There are no plans. And that's why the enemy is coming from here, enemy is coming from over here, and there's famine, and there's suffering, and they're facing now the time of Sancheiriv is coming to exile the Aser Sashvatim. Ribbono Shel Olam, what are your plans now? If you had a good plan, we have faith and confidence in you that you have the ability to carry out your plan. Because we could look back in history, we can see proof that you've always been true to your word. But now, what's going on? The words here of Klal Yisrael in their complaint to Hashem, to Micha, is HaKotzar Ruach Hashem. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. Is the Yad Hashem Tiktzar? There, the plan did not yet come to fruition. Their challenge was not Hashem's plan, but the ability to carry it out, to bring it to completion. Here, they're questioning, what do you want from us now? What's the goal? We already got the Torah. We already live in Eretz Yisrael. What's the purpose of all of this? And because you, Hashem, have no purpose, that's why everything is collapsing, everything is turned to a state of chaos. This is a machshava.
It doesn't mean mekatene emuno.
Yes. Let's go further. Okay, we have just another 2 minutes. Let's go further. Let's.
What to do is doing. We cannot ask. We can't ask master, the king.
That is correct. That is correct. What you're saying is correct.
Prime Minister, Vice President, you say, what do we go, fire.
Let's just see the Mamma Chazal and finish up as far as the Pasuk Zayin. Hallo, Devara Yetivu im Hayoshar Halech, Kisase Hayoshar Bene Hashem. La Lehis Nois Bene Adam, Ela Lehis Nois Bene Shamayim. Kidesh Tiske Lechaye Hoylam Abba. Okay, so here is a very beautiful chazal, and this is the source of the halacha, this is this chazal. A person should not look to impress his fellow man. A person should look to impress a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Do not look to be pleasant in the eyes of your man. Look lehisnaos, to be beautiful in the eyes of Hashem. The problem is, many times that is a contradiction. Because what is pleasant in the eyes of Hashem is not pleasant in the eyes of your fellow man. And you there's embarrassment and there is shame. And the pasuk here says, Haloi divarai yetiv im hayoshar hoylech. Hashem wants you to go in his ways. The ein toiv el chayei ha'olam haba shenemar. Mo rav tuvcho asher tzofanta liriecha po'alta lachoy simbach. How much is the good which you have hidden away for those who fear you, what you have done, what you have created for those that seek refuge in you. So here, this is a very beautiful pasuk. A person should always strive to be naki in the eyes of Hashem. Now, by the way, well, how do we reconcile this pasuk with what it says in Parshas Maaseh of v'hiyisem nikiyim me Hashem umi Yisrael? There's really a double obligation to be naki in the eyes of Hashem and naki in the eyes of Yisrael. So obviously that's where you can do both. But sometimes you cannot do both. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice sometimes. And when you have to make a choice in being naki in the eyes of Hashem versus being naki in the eyes of man, you have no choice but to decide to be naki in the eyes of Hashem, even though you may not be knocking the eyes of men, you should always strive that it should never come to such a situation where you have to be suspected in the eyes of men. There is definitely, in other words, don't take this chazal to the nth degree. Don't say that since this chazal says that strive to be beautiful in the eyes of Hashem and not in the eyes of man, so don't care about what people think about you. That's certainly not correct. It's only in a situation where you have to make a choice. The choice must be for Hashem and not legabe other.
There's no stira.
You have to be clean. To be beautiful. Okay, you're saying a very nice idea. It's a new madrega. The idea of being naki is not the same as lehisnaos. Lehisnaos to be beautiful, noe, to be beautiful in the eyes of Hashem. Only strive. So Rav Kalman is saying that when it comes to being naki, clean, naki michet just means no evil. You have an obligation to be clean both from Hashem and from man. But when you want to go above being neutral. Above being neutral, but to have something positive of lehisnaos, don't try to be lehisnaos in the eyes of man. Don't try to flatter man. Don't do things to impress people. Don't pander to society. Instead, focus on being beautiful in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That you should exert your koyches. Okay, we're going to stop here. How was your fast? We're going to learn today Sefer Hasidim. You have to go to